Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, 2022 Netflix series White Noise is set in the year 1984, and it's about a train derailment in Ohio that creates an airborne toxic event. Does that sound familiar to you? So here's the plot of White Noise. In 1984, Jack Gladney is a professor of Hitler studies at the College on the Hill in Ohio. Jack is married to Babette, his fourth wife. Together, they raise a blended family with four children. However, their lives are disrupted when a cataclysmic train accident casts a cloud of chemical waste over the town. This airborne toxic event forces a massive evacuation, which leads to a major traffic jam on the highway. Jack drives to a gas station to refill his car, where he is inadvertently exposed to the cloud. The family and numerous others are forced into a quarantine at a summer camp. Well, just 2 weeks ago, on February 3rd, a freight train actually traveling through East Palestine, Ohio, carrying vinyl chloride, butyl arclate, exylethyl arclate, and ethylene glycol monobutyl, derailed. And if you thought that all the pandemic gaslighting fun was over because the lockdowns have ended, well, it's not over. It's just beginning. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, "The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun." On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, you become numb to the endless barrage of news and information, and much of it is slipping right past you. And this is where we come in. We help you to see it all through the filter of your King James Bible, and it is there and then that amazing things come to light. Take the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, which caused a massive toxic spill. Were you aware that just 10 weeks before that accident, that the whole town of East Palestine was given the MyID digital identification in case of an emergency that might cause breathing difficulties? And we have that clip for you today. Now, on a coincidence scale, what would you rate that? 9.9, 10, 11, 15, 25, 1,000? Now, before you answer, make sure that in addition to the MyID digital ID given to every resident in East Palestine, Ohio, you also figure in the Netflix film White Noise about that family in Ohio where a train wreck causes a toxic spill and forces them all into a quarantine camp. And oh yeah, almost forgot, that movie is set in the year 1984. On this episode, that's called predictive programming, by the way. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we will show you this and about a dozen other places where America as a nation is experiencing gaslighting on a level that before the pandemic, you could only see in the movies. We would like to welcome you to day 1,071 of 15 days to flatten the curve. Just don't breathe in too deeply. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for waking us up today and putting food on the table, putting clothes on our back and a roof over our head. And we are just glad and we're grateful, Lord, to be saved and serving. And Father God, we just come to you as your church, as your body. And we say, Lord, hear our prayers and receive our praise because you are worthy. And today we're praying for Anetta to be 100% healed and to be able to walk again after having a stroke. We're praying for Robert Wiley, who is battling ALS disease, for him and his wife, Lisa. We have lots of ladies who are expecting: Elena Blackburn, Kelsey Emerson, Aaron Riddle. Gary Tatterson's daughter, Kayla, is expecting twins. Reagan and Kyle Gorzel just gave birth to baby Titus last week, and there were problems. There was jaundice with Titus and hoof and mouth disease with their other child, and back and forth. The kids are fine. Please pray especially for Reagan and Kyle Gorzel. They are operating on the absolute edge of exhaustion. And he kept in touch with me all weekend long. And I told him, I said, brother, we're all praying for everything that's happening in your family. And they had quite the weekend. But it all ended on a happy note. So praise the Lord for that. And Kyle says he is so glad and so grateful for all the prayers of his NTEB family. Jeanette's cousin Andrew had a stroke, and we're praying for him. Rob Beatty's colon cancer has come back, and we're praying for him and his journey. And we're just putting him in the Lord's hands. And God is the great physician. We don't live in the age of signs, miracles, and wonders. We live in the church age. We walk by faith, not by sight. And we are just committing all the people on our prayer list, and especially Rob Beatty, as he battles colon cancer, that the Lord would just give him a special touch. And Marcy Long, Dina Kruger's mom, is waiting for a report on her markers regarding her fight with colon cancer. So please keep Marcy Long in your prayers. Mark Saxo would like prayer for his son Joseph to return to the Lord. Clayton Perry has chemo side effects. Craig Arford and Harmon's son Michael battling pancreatic cancer. Tracy Riddle is battling metastatic breast cancer. Jill Puckett is losing her vision, and we're praying for her. Matt is in urgent need of prayer for salvation. Shara Shine is asking us to pray for a good result for an upcoming CT scan in April. Also for her kids, Nicole, Sherry, and Scott. Carol Jane is in the hospital until March, and we're praying for her. Linda would like prayers for her sister, Marianne, waiting on blood work. We're praying for CJ's mom to get saved. Pam is asking us to pray for her sister, Kim, who has some health problems and is not saved. Juanita Allberg asking for prayer from spiritual attacks. Nancy is asking prayer for her friend's son, Wyatt, age 10, with possible lymphoma. Maddie Luck says, please pray for me. I've been diagnosed with Lewy body dementia, very difficult disease to deal with. And she says that her and her daughter are working through this, but they're both saved. And they said, keep up the good work. We'll meet you in the rapture. Thank you for your prayers. Amen. Anna Galvez says that my daughter-in-law is continuing her radiotherapy for stage 3 cancer, cervical cancer. Please pray for that. Aunt Nancy, please continue to pray for Brandon and Michelle for salvation. Amanda says Amanda and Mike have an unspoken prayer request, as do I have one. Chris Hart has one. Cheryl H. has one. Adrian P. Breda and his wife have one. Marie C. has one. Jeanette has one. And the LaPiana family have one. Rebecca Lynn is asking prayer for a very dear friend of hers, Joel, had a massive stroke, and we're praying for a healing and for his salvation. Kathleen and Kayleen Schnorr, we call her Jersey Girl in the chat room. Her husband recently passed away, and we are praying for comfort for both of them and direction from the Lord. Humble One Forever says, praise report. My daughter spent 4 days with me in London and is headed home with a Ruckman Bible and a fresh message of the good news delivered with tears. Amen. And then Mia from Texas said that Aunt Maggie, she believes that she accepted the Lord as her Savior and got saved. And I said those praise reports last time, but I love a good praise report. Carol Morin says surgery went very well for her uncle. To rehab to get well, please pray for salvation. And it looks like there's two uncles. Nope, that's the update. So Carol Morin's uncle Marion is doing well after surgery. Please pray for a healing and for salvation. Noah Dunaway, sciatica back pain. Gail Comfort from the bookstore, still having back and leg issues. Please pray for her. Trisha is still dealing with hip pain and hoping that the stem cell therapy will start to work there. Shauna says, please make sure that my son Troy and grandson Zach get on the prayer list. They are in desperate need of prayers. Satan has successfully influenced them both. They are saved, but Satan has been able to manipulate them through Troy's girlfriend, who is not saved. That's a problem. And we are going to talk about that later on the podcast today in the context of the Asbury University fake revival. Nate 54 says, praise report. I hit my numbers for the ferritin count. Now, instead of weekly blood withdrawals, I go every 3 months. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Dwayne and Anna, please pray for me. Deep discouragement has set in. I feel like I'm failing God and my family to the point of depression. And we will absolutely pray about that, brother. And I have experienced deep depression periods in my life. And the last one really was very damaging to me. And it did not go away until I really got serious about my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not making light of your situation. I'm not saying that you don't need medicine of some kind. Some people do, some people don't. I'm just simply saying that I understand what it's like to be deeply discouraged and deeply depressed. And for me personally, that's because I had my eyes on myself and my problems. I don't know what your situation is like, but what's that song? Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And that's the answer. That's the answer. And we will pray. Palmetto State Guy, my mother Eunice is being treated for a drug-resistant UTI infection. Ricky Gouda has a praise report. Surgery on Norcha's foot went well, and she is recuperating. An apartment has set empty for 2 months close to Ricky. Norcha asked about it. God worked things out, so Norcha will be moving in. And Ricky Gouda is just so excited, and we rejoice with her. Heath, haven't gotten victory over smoking. It's a struggle. It is a struggle. I've never been a smoker, but I have had other addictions, and you just need to bring it to the foot of the Lord until you get the strength to leave it at the foot of the Lord. Cher, but we're absolutely praying. Cher says, please pray for my sister Rita and her son Corbin. He has gone to jail and just gotten beaten up, and my sister is in turmoil. And that is horrific. And we're going to pray for Corbin today. Joy Piper says, Carolyn's husband Steve has test tomorrow for heart surgery. We are under a snowstorm warning. Also, pray my daughter can get out of her driveway. They have to be at the hospital at 7:30. So Joy Piper's daughter and son-in-law, Steve, he is having tests regarding possible heart surgery. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we thank you, we praise you, we commit this time to you. And so many people need a healing, Lord, from diseases and illnesses of the body, of the mind, of the soul, of the spirit. And Father God, only you can bring that about. And we come before you today, and Lord, we're going to be talking about some heavy things today. but there's nothing heavier than lost souls going to hell. And give us a renewed passion to reach the lost. And for those of us that are saved, help us, Father God, to get our eyes off of ourselves and our own problems and to put them on you. Your word says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's the answer, Lord. That is the answer, to cast ourselves upon you and to look full in your wonderful face, and then the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. And God, we thank you for these, for a full chat room today. We thank you for so many people who listened last week. And God, we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Trisha just posted, help us, Lord. And I'm telling you, the short prayers, that's the way to go. And over the years, my prayers have gotten very simplistic in nature. A lot of the times you'll hear me pray, Lord, just get in the middle of this thing and do something. And leave it up to God. Phyllis is asking, does the wording in Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing, mean don't worry? That's right. Careful originally meant to be filled with care. Now, if you're filled with care about lost people, if you're filled with care about your grandmother who goes to the nursing home like mine did, if you're filled with care because a neighbor broke their leg and you want to bring them over a hot meal, that's a really good type of care to be filled with. But in the context, in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6, Paul says, be careful for nothing, meaning don't be anxious, don't be worried. Don't be not faithless, but believing, the Bible says. And that's what Paul is talking about. He said, don't be filled with doubt and fear and worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then you let God work it out. You let God answer your prayer how he wants to answer it. And I'm telling you, that's exactly the way to get your prayers answered. And that's why, whenever you hear me pray, I always pray in the name of Jesus Christ. That is the name that is above all names. I always say, thank you, Lord. And we thank God for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. And that is that attitude of gratitude, right? But there's truth to that. If you're glad to be saved, and if you have gratitude for what God has given you, then you're not looking at the person next to you who has something different, and you're saying, boy, I wish I had what they had. And I'll get to the podcast in just a minute, but I think that I'm glad this topic came up. Too many times in our Christian life, we look over at what other people are doing, what other people have, and we get jealous and we get envious, and it's happened to me on more than one occasion. And we need to remind ourselves that whatever God gives us as individuals, we should be so grateful for that. And my prayers, so simplistic. Nobody is ever going to write a book of my prayers, because there's nothing fancy. There's nothing eloquent. I say, God, I ate today. Thank you. You woke me up today. Thank you. God, I got clothes on my back. Thank you. I don't own a $2,000 suit. I don't own a $1,000 suit. I don't even own a $500 suit. But I have a couple of nice suits that I got from Men's Warehouse. And you know what? When I look at the people with the $2,000 suits, I'm not envious one single bit. Because I am glad for what God gave me. And you know what? When you're glad for what God gives you, then you are happy for what he gives other people. And when you have that attitude, you're not going to be depressed nearly as much. You're not going to be unhappy. You're going to be glad and grateful that God does something for you. Natalie says, I've never known hunger. Thank you, Lord. You see that? You see that? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So, this is why we pray. This is why we have a prayer list, and I'm so glad that we do. Today's topic, and I just wanted to talk about last week's podcast. It was 2 hours and 15 minutes, and it was the longest podcast that we've ever done, and it's really one of the most important podcasts. If you haven't listened to it yet, please go and listen to it. But we've had over 10,000 people listen to that podcast, and people are getting charged up by it. And a number of people have written to me saying it's the best podcast that we've ever done, and they have never heard a sense of urgency displayed more clearly and plainly. So if you haven't heard last week's podcast on the One World Religion of Chrislam, go back and take a listen to it, because it's really a very, very important program. And I'm so gratified, as long as we're talking about gratitude, I'm so gratified about the number of people that have listened to it. And I'll put the link into the chat room, but this was the podcast that said, from Billy Graham and Rick Warren to Mohammed bin Zayed and Pope Francis, the complete history of Chrislam. And you remember last Thursday, they opened up the Abrahamic Family House in Abu Dhabi. And that is the headquarters for Chrislam. That is the headquarters of the One World Religion. And if you haven't listened to that podcast, that one podcast caused our listener stats to go up by 13%, which is enormous. For one podcast to raise the stat average by 13%, that's really, really good. So go back and take a listen to it. The Lord's blessing it. And we're glad and grateful for that. So let's talk today. I want to talk about the East Palestine, Ohio train disaster. And I want you to listen to this thing. And I want to kind of, and I hate that expression, I want to unpack this for you. But really, I mean, this is kind of like it's in a box and we're going to unpack it. On February 3rd, there was a massive train disaster in, East Palestine, Ohio, and a long, long train filled with toxic chemicals spilled after the train crashed, and there was these huge explosions, and the whole thing went viral on Twitter, and all these horrific pictures. It looked like the end of the world is what it looked like. You would think that FEMA and all those people would be rushing in to solve the problem. But they're not rushing in to solve the problem. In fact, FEMA's not rushing in at all. And so when I began to look a little bit more deeply to this whole situation, somebody brought to my attention that last year Netflix had a movie called White Noise. And then all of a sudden, everybody started sending me the link for this movie, White Noise. Now, if you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you know that we talk about something called predictive programming. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit today if you're not familiar with what predictive programming is. We've played that clip from the Barney Miller show many, many times, talking about the coming New World Order and David Rockefeller. And yet, a few years after that clip aired on TV in 1981, by 1984, 85, 86, David Rockefeller was indeed doing those New World Order things that the episode of Barney Miller said that he was doing. And isn't that an amazing thing? I mean, some people might call that a coincidence, right? But there's nothing coincidental about that. If you have a King James Bible and you know that you're living in the end times, then you know that when you look at what the world calls coincidence, that it's really not coincidence at all. So we call this predictive programming. Now, I just mentioned David Rockefeller. He was the son of John D. Rockefeller. And the Rockefellers are absolutely at the top of the food chain when it comes to New World Order and Illuminati shenanigans. And this is what David Rockefeller said in his own book called Memoirs. Barney Miller said that David Rockefeller was trying to bring in the New World Order in 1981. Well, in 1984, this is what David Rockefeller said about people who accused him of that exact same thing. For more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents as my encounter with Castro to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we have over American political and economic institutions. Rockefeller said, "Some people even believe that we are part of a secret cabal." That's exactly what the clip of Barney Miller said. "Some people even believe that we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interest of the United States, characterizing me and my family as internationalists and conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure." And Rockefeller says, "One world, if you will." And you know what he ends that quote with? Rockefeller said, "If that's the charge..." And that is the charge. "If that's the charge, I stand guilty and I'm proud of it." And for those of you that have not heard the clip from Barney Miller talking about the Trilateral Commission and the New World Order with David Rockefeller, take a listen to what a comedy show had to say about David Rockefeller before he wrote his book, Memoir.
"They're the ones you should be arresting, not me."
"Why don't you say that before? What we got here? Cam, this is William Klein. He was wrecking an office."
I just wanted to meet them face to face. I wanted them to admit what they were doing."
"Who is they?"
"He was in the office of the Trilateral Commission."
"Trilateral Commission?"
"Yeah, the Trilateral Commission."
"All right, what is the Trilateral Commission?"
"It's an organization founded in 1973 by David Rockefeller to bring together business and political leaders from the United States, Europe, Japan, so they could work together for better economic and political cooperation between their nations."
"Yeah, but that's what they'd like us to believe. But you see, what they're really up to is a scheme to plant their own loyal members in positions of power in this country, to work to erase national boundaries and create an international community, and in time, bring about a one-world government with David Rockefeller calling the shots.
I take it they're pressing charges?
Yeah, well, he broke a globe and some UNICEF artwork.
Well, they're in on it, too.
Okay, Mr. Klein, if you just...
I'm telling you, our whole way of life as we know it is in jeopardy.
I appreciate that information.
But I have the documented evidence. It's all in there. Show him.
Well, he's got these magazines here.
Conspiracy Review? Suppressed Truth Roundup?
The whole master plan is exposed.
Yeah, well,
You're still not convinced, huh? Would you like to hear the names of just a few of the people who have been on the Trilateral Commission?
Not particularly.
James Earl Carter. Heard of him?
Look, Mr. Klein...
Henry Kissinger. You heard of him? Walter Mondale.
Who?
Mr. Klein, this is
John Anderson, George Bush. Now, you remember at the convention, everybody thought it was going to be Ford for Veep. You know what happened? David Rockefeller just picked up a phone, put in a call. Hey, Ronnie, forget Jerry, it's George. Bye. So, no matter who won in November, they had their man in the White House.
Are you through?
So there's the clip from Barney Miller. That show was 1981. And you talk about predictive programming. That's exactly what predictive programming is. Now, Ron Wooter has a question. He wants to know why they do that. Why do they work things into cartoons like the helicopter crash with Kobe Bryant? We have a whole section on now the, if you go to nowtheendbegins.com, if you go to our assorted stories section, we have a whole category for predictive programming, and you're going to read stories about, Microsoft releasing a video game in 1999 called Omicron, a Japanese anime film called Vexile 2077 that shows global lockdowns and mass injections of vaccines. 2016 children's movie called Hedgehogs, showing a global pandemic originating in Asia that could only be stopped after a vaccine was given. So we have a whole predictive programming section. But to answer Ron Wooter's question, the reason why they do that, why do they put that into movies and musics and books and cartoons and all those things? Because they enjoy doing that. They like it when you figure it out. And obviously, as you can see, even exposing these people, which we've been exposing these people for 14 years, even exposing these people doesn't stop them. And the reason why it doesn't stop them is because this is all part of the New World Order. And this is where the entire world is going. Joseph Mengele, they called him the Angel of Death in Auschwitz. And he loved to do all sorts of disgusting medical experiments on Jewish twins. That was his main thing. Joseph Mengele was fascinated by twins. And some of them lived through it, and some of them did not. One day, Joseph Mengele is talking with a young Jewish twin, and he looked at her, and he turned to her and said, "You Jews are incredible. The more that we do to you, the less you seem to believe we are doing it." And if you've ever studied the Holocaust in light of the upcoming time of Jacob's trouble, you will see very clearly that The entire rise of Adolf Hitler is a unbelievable type of the coming Antichrist, of the coming time of Jacob's trouble. And if you want to know the future before the future happens, then you need to get yourself a King James Bible, because the Bible is the only book that tells you the future before it happens. And the Quran never does that. There are no holy books in other religions that give you prophecy. And that is the one main difference. If you had to boil it down, what's the main difference between the Bible and all the other so-called holy books of other religions? Aside from the fact that the Bible is true and the other books are not, the main difference between the Bible and every other holy book is the Bible has prophecy. And the Bible, it doesn't just have one or two or a dozen or a couple of dozen. There are hundreds and hundreds of prophecies that you have in your King James Bible, Old and New Testament. And a lot of them have come true, but a lot of them have not happened yet. Like the pre-trib rapture of the church, the time of Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation, the great white throne judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, the battle of Armageddon, the rapture of the tribulation saints, the second advent, the millennial reign of King Jesus. All these things are yet future, and they are absolutely going to happen. So, let's talk for a little while today about this incredible train disaster that took place in East Palestine, Ohio, 2 weeks ago. And we're going to talk about it in light of a movie from Netflix from 2022 called White Noise that shows a massive train disaster in Ohio causing a toxic chemical spill that puts people into quarantine camps. And let's start out today with this from our friend Jason A. on YouTube. Take a listen to this.
Good evening. Super light buzz today. Definitely no anxiety over here. This story is one of the weirdest coincidences ever. People living in eastern Ohio evacuated their homes last week following a train derailment and chemical spill that sent toxic chemicals into the air. The crazy thing is, they did the same thing for a fictional disaster film a year ago.
Something that could actually kill someone.
Let's watch a sitcom or something.
No!
Evacuate all clicks of residents.
All right, I'm going to break this down here.
Today, the EPA said the train that derailed and caught fire in East Palestine, Ohio, was carrying and actually released more toxic chemicals than was first reported.
That major train derailment in Ohio, hundreds were forced to evacuate, and now they're complaining of headaches and sore throats, and what's even worse, some animals are dying.
People say their animals have become sick.
Don't tell me it's safe. Something's going on if the fish are floating in the creek.
The movie is called White Noise. It came out on Netflix in November. It stars Adam Driver. The premise of the movie is this: a freight train derails and explodes, and families have to flee the toxic fallout. The film was shot all over Ohio. It features extras in vacation scenes, including a family from New Palestine. Ben Ratner and a family, and his family filmed a scene where they were sitting in a traffic jam of people who were trying to evacuate. Then, last week's train derailment in real life and fire happened less than a mile from their home. They had to leave for real.
Yeah.
Isn't this wild?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, the simulation is not even good. It's crazy. They stayed a town over a while authorities conducted a controlled burn to get rid of those chemicals. The EPA says there's no longer a risk to people in that area, but the family is not so sure. They told CNN they are not thinking that they're ever going to go back.
Man, at least they weren't in Don't Look Up.
That's true. Could have ended a little bit differently.
Could have been that one.
But you said you saw this movie.
Don't Look Up is kind of coming true right now. I mean, with the four different objects in the sky.
50 cars went off the track near the Pennsylvania border, causing a day-long fire in that area. It looked like there was a mushroom fire. Mm. which was quite concerning in that area.
It's been 12 days since the fiery derailment of a train carrying hazardous chemicals through East Palestine, Ohio. Ohio officials confirming some 3,500 fish died in local waters in the days after the derailment.
This train apparently was not considered a high hazardous material train. Therefore, the railroad was not required to notify anyone here in Ohio about what was in the rail cars coming through our state.
I mean, this mayor went on. He had so many different press conferences. At one point, he told the people who live in a certain area they were going to die. Anyway, at this particular press conference, he went on to say this is absurd and Congress needs to take a look into the situation. Officials are assuring people in that area it's safe, it's okay to return. There are precautions despite complaints of persisting odors.
Now, let me just stop that mashup clip right there. Do you remember when the Twin Towers were brought down on September 11th of 2001? And do you remember the unbelievable dust clouds that were generated when those directed energy weapons turned that falling concrete to powder? And that unbelievable toxic dust cloud that settled over all of Lower Manhattan, parts of New Jersey, Staten Island. And what did the government say? The government said that they tested the area. There's no need for concern. There's no need for worry. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people have since died from lung cancer and other diseases that were directly tied back to breathing in that air after the Twin Towers were brought down. So, rule number one, when you have a toxic disaster and the government declares it to be safe without investigating and without sending somebody like FEMA down there to check everything out, when the government tells you that they declare something to be safe, that's when you really need
reports
to start to worry about it.
Sick and dead animals, contaminated water. Some of the chemicals on the train are known to cause cancer.
Surveillance footage also shows the train on fire about 20 miles before it derailed with hazardous chemicals as it passed through Salem, Ohio. Officials lifted an evacuation order for residents Wednesday, saying the air and water are safe.
The state's Department of Natural Resources reports nearly 8 miles of waterways in the Ohio River are contaminated. At least 3,500 fish have died, and some residents say their cats and chickens have died.
So now they're even more concerned because they were told it was safe to go back. They've been drinking the water. Now they're told you can't drink the water.
Brockovich says questions remain as to the extent of the contamination. She says areas in neighboring Pennsylvania could also be affected. Andrea Fuji, ABC News, New York.
So, when you look at the toxic chemical disaster that happened in East Palestine, Ohio, and then you do a little bit of digging, and you find something like white noise, and you say to yourself, wow, that's unbelievable. That's predictive programming. But then you dig a little bit deeper than that, and you want to know what you find? 10 weeks before the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, 10 weeks before that chemical toxic spill, which is causing all this hubbub and worry and problem and alarm and all these animals dying and people terrified that their drinking water has been poisoned. You want to know what was on the local nightly news if you lived in that section of Ohio? Would you like to know what you would have heard on your nightly news broadcast just 10 weeks before that train derailed with those toxic chemicals? Take a listen to a 2-minute clip from the nightly news, East Palestine, Ohio, 10 weeks before the train derailment.
County coverage now, and East Palestine is known as the place to be. It's way ahead of the curve on a program to provide better treatment for anyone in the event of an emergency. I learned how it works and how it could help everyone in East Palestine.
MyID provides quick medical information for emergency responders. Darlene Chapman is the outreach coordinator for this project, and she's an EMT.
If they're in a situation where they can't tell us or they don't have any family around, this is something that would make my life easier.
MyID works by taking a camera phone and pointing it at a QR code. It provides valuable medical information such as allergies, breathing difficulties, or other conditions, so you get proper treatment and care.
If anybody sees the QR code, you'll be able to scan this and get the information. So it helps that person, not necessarily just here, but anywhere in the nation.
There are a few options for MyID: a bracelet, key fob, necklace, or attachment on your watch band. You can choose the one which fits your lifestyle best. That's up to you. Orders will start in January. The fire department has already collected $5,000 in donations to help.
That's our ultimate goal. We want to be able to give this for free to the citizens and provide them with that extra layer of care so that we can better treat them.
The offer includes Unity Township, which is served by the East Palestine Fire Department. These items cost around $20 each. You can even buy it for yourself. The fire department is hoping you'll be willing to wear it.
My goal is to have 100% of our residents and the citizens we serve in the township to have one of these and be working with them to make sure that we can treat them better and provide the best service that we can.
There's a 3-year plan to get MyID going across the village and make it available to all 4,700 residents.
So, 2.5 months before that unbelievable train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, what were they doing? They were giving out MyID digital identification to all the residents of that town so that they could track them, so that they could have a way to report symptoms like breathing difficulties. You know what you get from a toxic chemical spill? You get breathing difficulties, especially when those toxic chemicals are going up in flames. So this is what you find when you dig. Now, let me just give you a word of warning right here and right now. If anybody tries to give you digital identification, I'm not talking about your driver's license with real ID. That is digital identification, but it's a different type of digital identification. But if anybody comes to your town, your place of work, your business, knocks on your door, and begins to push government-sponsored digital identification, do not take it. Reject it. Do not take it under any circumstances. And at the same time that all this was going on in East Palestine in Ohio, there were 5 other train derailments, chemical spills, unbelievable warehouse fires putting up toxic plumes into the air. So I said at the start of this broadcast today that just because the lockdowns are over, the pandemic gaslighting is not over. And it's going to continue far beyond COVID and all that other stuff. Take a listen to this clip that came out of China
COVID-19 vaccinations for infants and toddlers aged 6 months to 4 years began Monday for those who have made reservations. According to the KDCA, COVID-19 vaccinations for the said group will be given out based on the reservations that were made from January 30th on. Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine specifically for infants and toddlers will be administered with 3 shots at intervals of 8 weeks. Health authorities say vaccination is recommended for young children who are at high risk, especially children with respiratory illnesses.
So isn't it amazing that for the last 3 years we have had COVID, which is a respiratory illness, And it doesn't matter where it came from, doesn't matter if it's natural or created in a laboratory or gain of function, which is what I think it is. But it really doesn't matter, because if you catch it, it feels just like a respiratory illness, and I can testify to that having recently had it. But isn't it amazing that for the last 3 years, the world has been battling a respiratory illness, the MyID digital ID wants to track and monitor people with breathing difficulties, and then in the past 2 weeks, we have had all of this crazy stuff going on with these toxic chemical spills and train wrecks and disasters. And what do all those things have in common? Well, what they all have in common is that they all cause breathing difficulties. Angel is saying that respiratory problems are caused from 5G. They certainly could be. But even outside of 5G, everybody's house has wireless going through it. And you have the radiation of Wi-Fi going through your body and your brain and your lungs all day, every day. So I found it fascinating that at the same time, now let's kind of start to piece this all together. Let's see how far that we can take this back. When did the Grammys take place? The Grammys took place, I believe, on February 2nd. When did the Grammys take place? Hold on, I am pulling that up right now. Because there's a little bit of a timeline situation that we have here. All right. The Grammys took place on February 6th. And that was 3 days after this predictive programming train crash in East Palestine, Ohio. And then the day after, Madonna at the Grammys invited the whole world to enjoy something that was beautifully unholy. Well, what happened the day after that took place? Well, the day after that took place, you had what they call the Asbury University Revival in Kentucky. Now, let's talk for a moment about the Asbury Revival. I don't normally do a news story right before a podcast, but this morning, this thing came across my desk, and, well, let's just say that it validated everything that I had previously been thinking about what I called from the beginning a fake revival. And I hope that you were not suckered in to that Laodicean nonsense that has been happening over at Asbury University. But the president of that school, a man by the name of Kevin J. Brown, well, you know what he said? He said over the weekend that the revival comes to an end at 2 p.m. today. Now, this was what they have been talking about. It's been blowing up on social media. A Holy Spirit revival that is being canceled by a college president at 2 p.m. today. Now, have you ever stopped to look at what real revival looks like? George Whitefield was used by God to give real revival. D.L. Moody, obviously, was used by God in a very powerful way to give real revival. Billy Sunday experienced real revival. But then you get into that 20th century, and then all of a sudden, things aren't quite so certain anymore. And then things begin to get real weird and real strange. And last week on the program, we told you all about the truth behind Billy Graham. And it made some people mad, but what can I say? It's the truth. And Billy Graham, absolutely, he had no problem working with lots of unsaved people and New Age people and people who believe what the New World Order stands for. And he had all those people on his committee, and those people helped to bring his revivals to town, and really, really bad stuff. But we told you from the start of this fake revival that it wasn't real. Now, I want to play this clip, and I call it What One Man Saw at the Asbury Revival.
This is not
Take a
going
listen to
be a popular video. This is actually a really difficult video for me to make. Now, those of you who have called me a Pharisee over the last few days may not believe me, but I was really hopeful about what's happening at Asbury. Honestly, I felt like weeping because there's no gospel being proclaimed or offered. Instead, a distorted gospel is being presented and applauded. But before we get to that, let me tell you what I saw. We were in the chapel for 2.5 hours. Upon entering, the main leader was giving announcements and admitted that not much preaching has taken place. He said, quote, because we're not here to listen to a mesmerizing speaker. There was repetitive music, which was rhythmic and emotional. There was great enthusiasm for meaningless phrases like splashing in the love of Jesus and settling into grace, which was received with applauses and amens. There was mental pictures of dynamite and visions of piles of shoes. There was casting out or praying against the spirit of depression or of anxiety. There were prayers for new special and specific revelation and impartations for visions and dreams. We stayed long enough to hear 5 different speakers and listen to 6 student testimonies. 2 of the speakers were clearly faculty. The other 3 seemed to be staff of some sort. Most concerning was the lack of the gospel. 2 of the speakers said the word gospel as though they were communicating it, but it was absent. I wrote down some phrases that summarize the gospel I heard. We know your life has been full of pain, but we're here to tell you Jesus loves you. Your story is full of pain and Jesus receives you as you are. Quote, Jesus is speaking healing to broken, bleeding, wounded hearts here. Weird testimonies, but not one of the testimonies we heard were about repentance, and sadly none really mentioned Jesus, if at all. That being said, I don't doubt anyone's sincerity. And I think people will get out of this what they want to. I in no way think that I have the definitive say or word on what is happening at Asbury. I am simply sharing what I saw, what I experienced, and what I think about it.
And that pretty much sums the entire thing up in a nutshell. It was almost exclusively a nonstop musical production. Famous people like Carrie Job, they showed up. They kept the thing going. And there was no preaching of the gospel. Now, a lot of the times people get confused as to what the gospel is for the church age. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. The Apostle Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the 3rd day according to the Scriptures. You will never have Holy Spirit revival without the preaching, teaching, and expounding upon of God's preserved word. It cannot happen, and it will not happen. If you don't have the gospel being preached, you do not have revival. And the one thing that I heard from just about everybody who went there with a critical eye, who went there with a biblical eye, is that yes, there were lots of people weeping and crying and repenting of sin. But when you dug a little bit deeper, the type of sins that they were repenting of, one person was repenting of a spirit of sarcasm. Another person was repenting of a spirit of unhappiness, of ingratitude. Other people were repenting of their critical judgment of LGBT people. Does that sound like revival to you? Because that's not revival. When D.L. Moody came to town, when Billy Sunday came to town, movie houses went out of business, liquor stores closed forever. Was it because they were preaching against liquor and preaching against movies? Well, Billy Sunday certainly did preach against liquor. But you can preach against liquor all day long, and liquor stores aren't going to go out of business until the person who owns the liquor store gets saved. And that's one of the things that show you that it's Holy Spirit revival, is that lost people get saved. It's not a bunch about it's not about a bunch of people weeping and crying about their own personal feelings. Your feelings have nothing to do with it. Your feelings don't matter when you get saved. Your feelings don't matter when you repent. These are things that take place whether you have emotions about them or you do not. So we took the position the entire time that the revival was fake. And the longer that the revival went on, the weirder and faker that the whole thing began to be. And the president of Asbury University, this is what he said. He said this. Let me just pull it up here. He said, students have not only had to juggle various campus commitments, but also the throngs of people who have entered the dimensions of their space. For some, this has created a sense of being unsettled and even alienation from their campus community. Last week, what they had to start doing is they had to start searching people's bags and using metal detectors, because they were getting more and more worried that some really nasty event was about to take place. And so the president said over the weekend that along with a new schedule, we are working with several groups to increase security. Does that sound like a Holy Spirit revival to you? Do you think, I want you to use your brain for just a moment. Do you think that God is going to send Holy Spirit revival and then not be able to keep the people safe as the gospel's being preached and people are getting saved? Does that sound right to you? Doesn't sound right to me. Does it sound right to you that the Holy Spirit falls on a group of college kids, which sparks a nationwide interest in revival, and yet the president of that school can just arbitrarily declare when that revival is going to come to an end, even being so specific as telling you the time of day that the revival is going to end, which is 2 p.m. Central Standard Time today. None of these things have anything to do with real revival, with the Holy Spirit. And we talked a lot about what happened at the Grammys and what happened at the Super Bowl. And we ran all of that through the filter of your King James Bible. And I believe, and now that I've seen how it's coming to an end and how it all played out, I really believe that this so-called Holy Spirit revival was brought about after invoking the name of Satan at the Grammys. And I don't believe that the Holy Spirit had anything to do with this revival. And I'll show you why. Turn to John chapter 16. Turn to John chapter 16. I'll show you why I don't think that this was a Holy Spirit revival. John 16, let's look at, verses 7 through 14. John 16, 7 through 14 in your King James Bible. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter," that's the Holy Spirit, "will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he," the Holy Spirit, "will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me." This is why people get saved at revivals. "Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged," talking about Satan. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he," the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, "is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." Now, you can look at anything that happened during the Asbury University revival, and you compare that, if you're honest, if you have a King James Bible, you compare what happened at that revival to what I just read to you. And if that would have been a revival from the Holy Spirit, now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'll show you a little secret about the Holy Spirit. And I've talked about this before on the Bible studies, but this always blows people's minds. I'll show you a little secret about the Holy Spirit. If what happened at the Asbury revival was from the Holy Spirit, then all of those things in John chapter 16 would have taken place. And this is why, historically, when you look at the great movements of God in the church age, they all kind of play out the same way. You have enormous amounts of lost people getting saved, and then you have saved people getting on fire for God and building churches and starting Bible programs and universities and things like that. So let me show you a little secret about the Holy Spirit. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, talking about the Jewish people in context, but Paul's going to reveal a little nugget about the identity of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:13. "And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished, But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, when people get saved, the veil shall be taken away. Now look at verse 17. You want to see a little nugget about the Holy Spirit? Paul says, now the Lord, that's Jesus Christ, is that Spirit, capital S. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Did you just read that the Apostle Paul says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit? If that doesn't blow you away, what will? Paul says, now the Lord is that capital S Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And this is why we said last year, and this article aggravated a lot of people, but when you look at who Jesus Christ is, the Bible says he is the express and manifold image of God the Father. Paul says, now the Lord is that Spirit. So, let me ask you a question. If the Asbury Revival was sent by the Holy Spirit, and Paul says that the Lord Jesus Christ is that Spirit, do you really think that Jesus Christ is going to send a nationwide revival and then put on nobody's heart to preach the gospel? Do you think that's even possible? Well, the answer is it's not possible. And the answer is that revival is fake. Now, like you heard that guy say, I am sure and I am positive that there were a lot of sincere, well-meaning people there. But there was a spirit about that thing. There was a spirit about that revival that I think is more in line with what happened at the Grammys than with what happens inside the pages of your King James Bible. So I hope that you weren't sucked up into that. We warned about it. But I really hope that you weren't sucked up into that. Because you're going to be very, very disappointed if you were. We have been experiencing revival here at Now the End Begins. And we've been experiencing it for just about 3 years now. And how do I know that we're experiencing revival? Well, because people are still getting saved. And saved people are still getting on fire for God. And our free Bible program expanded by a factor of 10. And that shows me that people are on fire for God and people are being revived. But they're not being revived by fake signs, miracles, and wonders. They're not being revived through an emotional pitch or an emotional appeal. I like to consider myself a fairly emotional person. From time to time, especially during the Sunday services, I get overwhelmed with emotion. And you have heard me on multiple live broadcasts. Sometimes I get so choked up I have to stop for a moment and collect myself. Because the Bible makes me emotional. It does. Seeing lost people get saved makes me very emotional. Watching lost people die and go to hell makes me extremely emotional because it makes me very sad. But my emotions have very little to do with it. It has to do with the preaching and teaching of the gospel of the grace of God and standing on the truth of your King James Bible. CJ is asking, when Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer and said, lead us not into temptation, which is trouble, why would he say that? Because he can lead people any way he seems fit. Well, that's exactly right. Now, that prayer, what the Catholics call the Our Father prayer, that's not a church age prayer. That's a prayer that's going to turn to Psalm 23. Turn to Psalm 23. We have a couple minutes left. I can answer this question. Turn to Psalm 23. Why would Jesus say, lead us not into temptation? Well, because of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When Jesus is instructing the disciples how to pray, and he says, in this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. And he gets to that part that says, lead us not into temptation. Matthew, Mark, and Luke is primarily doctrine for the kingdom age, which is going to be experienced during the time of Jacob's trouble. And that is going to be a period of time where there is going to be another shepherd, where there is going to be the wrong shepherd. The Bible calls him the idle shepherd. That's what the Bible calls the Antichrist. Zechariah 11:17. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. Antichrist. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Now, when you put together all those things that we just talked about, why would Jesus say, and lead us not into temptation? Because what he gave the disciples was a prayer that they would always follow the true shepherd and the right shepherd, because the wrong shepherd is going to lead them into trouble, the time of Jacob's trouble. And when you match the Our Father prayer with Psalm 23, and then you understand a little bit about the time of Jacob's trouble, then you know why Jesus said what he said. Because it's going to be the strong delusion. Jan Lacker says, is this why so many people in Hollywood cover their right eye? Let me show you this article. And there's a link, and I hope you read the article, but the picture is going to show you everything that you need to know. Why did they cover their right eye? Well, because of Zechariah 11:17 that I just read to you. Hollywood, and this is one reason why God led me out of Hollywood, and I have absolutely zero desire to go back. But this is why you see so many Hollywood stars covering up one eye. It's usually the right eye, but not always. Sometimes it's the left eye. But it's really quite stunning when you look at Hollywood's fascination with the one eye. And with that, we've about come to the end of our time today. I hope that I was able to make it clear and make it plain what predictive programming is, how we're being gaslit. I really didn't have much time to talk about the rest of the gaslighting. Maybe I'll talk about that on Friday. But you can really, really see train crash in East Palestine, Ohio. Netflix movie about a train crash in Ohio. My ID digital identification being handed out to the residents of East Palestine, Ohio. You really don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure all that out. You just have to have a King James Bible, and you just have to believe it. That's all. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for being part of the NTEB global family across America and around the world. Please pray for our free Bible program. And if the Lord has prospered you and put on your heart to help us send out free Bibles around the world, please go to nowtheendbegins.com and help us to send out even more Bibles across America and around the world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night for another Rightly Dividing King James Bible study. Have a great week, everybody.
In sin I was living, no thought was I giving of dying and where I would go. I was looking and buying, so hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, Christ save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
Now my life's worth living, since I've been forgiven. Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think about dying, 'cause heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying, he's always trying to lead you down the wrong way. Just call on Christ's name, he'll save you today. Then look back to Satan and say,
I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
No,
I'm not going to hell.
Because
I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. Because I'm saved by His power divine.
Yes, I'm saved.
I'm saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved. I'm not going to hell.